Hey, good morning, everybody. Had to do a little bit of traveling, so I'm just coming back from Phoenix in LA. So when I'm out shoveling this morning, there was no doubt in my mind that I was back in Wisconsin. And it's always good to be home, I might add. Hey, just by raise of hands, how many would be able to say today with a clear conscience that you're busy? Can I see? Yeah. That's pretty universal of what's going on there. In fact, if you go up and just ask somebody today how they're doing, you're probably going to get either one response or another. If you go like, hey, you know, how's it going? They're going to go like, I'm good. Or they're going to say, I'm what? Oh, yeah, I'm busy. In fact, this has become just so common that it's somewhat confused international guests and visitors that stay with us for a while. They've gotten to the point of thinking that this is actually a part of the way that we greet each other. They'll come up and say, hello, I'm busy. How are you? Anybody here be able to relate with this? You know, things are just crazy now. Yeah, and we're not saying, yeah, you should see the person that I'm married to. I mean, that's not what they're saying with that. I mean, they're going like, no, it's just crazy busy. And we're going like, yeah, that's me. And I'm not even sure what guy's talking about yet. But yeah, that's, you know, the whole crazy busy thing is something that I can connect with. And then we look ahead because just in front of us, we've got Thanksgiving and Christmas. Anybody get the feeling that things are going to get a little bit busier? In fact, some people are like, stop talking, guy. I'm too tired even to think about this right now. So, knowing what we've got up ahead, we're going to spend the next 3 weeks just listening to what Jesus has to say about breathing room in our lives. And you know, there's actually a lot in the Bible to help us with this. So, as we dive in, let's start with a little bit of a clarification. When I ask this question, get it out there right away. Is busy bad? What do you think? Is busy bad? Well, as we step back, we'd ask this. Was Jesus busy? Yes or no? Yeah, fair statement. Jesus was busy. Now, do you think Jesus was too busy? Did Jesus every week Sabbath and often take his friends on a retreat? He did, didn't he? Did Jesus take time to enjoy meals with people and just kind of hang out with people and friends? Yes or no? He did, didn't he? When Jesus was with a person, was he present? Here's what I mean by that. When he was there, he was with the person. It's not he was there physically, but his mind was somewhere else or racing ahead to the things that were ahead there. When Jesus was with you, was he present with you? He was present, wasn't he? In fact, if we were asked this, did Jesus have margin in his life? We'd go, he did. So busy isn't bad. In fact, Jesus models something for us that I hope all of us are going to be wanting to lean into, to learn more about, to embrace and incorporate in our lives. And we're going to call this busy and blessed. If I were to ask you today, do you have a job? Are you in school? Do you have family? Do you have any friends? Are you involved in any kind of ministry at all? Do you have ambitions? If so, with any of the above, then you're going to be busy. And you're blessed to be able to have those things, aren't you? I mean, if you have nothing to do, if you're not busy at all, that's actually a problem. I mean, we find somebody that, you know, they have nothing to do at all, and we look at them and just think, you know, get a life. Mommy, that's you. Public shame right now. Not a lot of people like that. Not a lot of people that are just like, I'm just so lazy, I won't do anything, or slothful, I won't do anything. That's not for the most of us our ditch. Our ditch is going to be on the other side, right? Our ditch is going to be, I'm in that crazy busy place, rather than necessarily feeling busy and blessed right now. When you think about crazy busy, the things that I think mark it would be this. Crazy busy carries with a lot of stress. It carries weariness. It carries joylessness. And I'd ask you if you have any of these in your life, but I know you're either too tired or depressed to even raise your hand at that point. Crazy busy robs us of joy in our life. Now, it can do it through exhaustion, go, 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 and you just, you know, worn out, or it does it through a mindset. And the mindset's this: when you get crazy busy, I just have to get through this. I just got to get through this so that I can get through this so that I can get through this. And to be quite honest, this is where I would have a propensity to, you know, kind of fall into. I was thinking about, it wasn't that long ago, that I was getting ready, you know, for a great trip that we're planning to go over to Kenya. And it, as I was getting ready in my mind for this, I was thinking about, here's all the things I need to do to get ready, which took me to, here's what I got to do when I get there. I'm going to have to speak 12 times, and here's the people I'm going to have to minister to where I'm there, and here's what it's going to take. And then we're going to come back, and we're going into a busy fall. Here's the things we got planned for it, which is going to lead into Christmas, and here's the things we're thinking about Christmas and how that's going to take us into the new year. And you know what? By the time I got to thinking about that, I was exhausted. And get this, it was June. I can get to the place where, you know, in all of the things, the good things you could be busy and blessed with, like, if I just got to get through it, I just got to get through it. And when you're just getting through it, you're not enjoying it. You're not appreciating the gift of now that you have at that point. That's crazy busy. Now, how do you get there? How do you get to this crazy busy point of life? A couple of things that may resonate with you. I made this quick list up, and if any of these do, just put a little check mark beside it as we go through it real quickly. You might be crazy busy in your life because you're really just kind of a people-pleasing person. In other words, if somebody asks you to do something, you just say yes because you can't say what? Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, just say yes. And you're like, why did you say yes? I just couldn't say no. And that's led to the crazy business you have. It may be it's because you're always trying to prove yourself. I can do this, I can do that, I can add this, I can do this, I can add this, and you're always adding and you're never taking anything off that way. I really like what Jim Collins says. Jim Collins says we all need two lists. We need a to-do list and we need a to-stop list in our life. And if you put something on the to-do list, you better look and think about something that needs to go on the to-stop list that way. Sometimes it's possessions. Our possessions, we've said, the things that we own us. Or it may be our hamster wheel that we put ourselves on as we're doing more and more to get more and more. So we do more, get more, and that's where your crazy busy cycle goes. Sometimes it's poor planning. Poor planning is when I have allowed the urgent to overrun the important. I'm going to repeat that. Poor planning, poor priorities, is when I have allowed the urgent to overrun the important in my life. Sometimes it's about power. I just need to be involved. I need to have my hands in everything because I feel like that's what it takes for me to maintain control, and I've just got to always be in control. Or sometimes it could be posting. You know, if our status isn't busy, we feel like there's something wrong with us. We want everybody to know, I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm posting this, I'm tweeting this, you know, hashtag busy, 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 you know, because then people are going to think well of me, right? Now, as you kind of go through the list, if you got a check or two that's on here, I just want you to think about this for a second. So many times we've gotten to crazy busy, all of these things that are taking place up here, because, you know, here's the root of it, pride. I do all of these things, sometimes check reason at the door, just so that people will think more of me, so that people will think more highly of me that way. That's that pride piece that's in there. You know, I was looking at these and thinking, you know, the P's, the people-pleasing, proving, possessions, poor planning, power, posting. There's another P that we could have put up here, you're crazy busy because of. Preschoolers. Now, if you have preschoolers, if you have infants, it's not a pride thing up there. It's just existence. No. We think there's a special medal that should go that way because by the nature of things, things are just going to be a little bit busier right now. It's one of the reasons we do mom time around here. If you're not in it, love to have you. You know, if you have preschoolers at home. Or if you're a single mom, We've got a couple ministries, I hope that would really benefit you in your life and help you with some of this. But taking preschooler off here, here's what can happen. Bridget Schulte, she's a Washington Post writer. She recently wrote a book called Overwhelmed. Here's what she said about this whole idea of crazy busyness that's in our lives right now. And these are her words, not mine. She goes, my God. So the book starts off. People are competing now about being busy. It's about showing status. It's if you're busy, you're what? Oh yeah, I'm busy. I'm important. In fact, we have now, sociologists have coined a new term for us. Here's the term, new sociological term for people today. It's called the busy brag. Say it with me. It's my busy brag. How you doing? I'm busy. I'm really, really busy. And it's like, you know, it's this badge of honor, like, I'm busy. We put this busy brag out there. When you see a person putting the busy brag on, I'm busy, just think, crazy busy, you know, like back of their mind, like, you know, that can be a problem. So we know what we want to avoid, right? We want to avoid the crazy busy. How is it that we can have this busy and blessed aspect of our life, that which Jesus modeled? Well, we want to take time to frame it up today, both literally and figuratively. So we're going to put a little mind map that's up here. Mind map will be all about being busy and blessed. If you're going to take notes today, flip your hand, your note card over, you'll be able to get this. In fact, if you're taking no other notes, just get the mind map down. I think it'll be really helpful for you to do this. Put busy and blessed in the blocks, and then we'll start with this foundation. Number my days. Now this phrase, number my days, comes right out of the Bible. So let's take our Bibles right now and see how that becomes foundational for us to have a busy and blessed life. We want to take our Bibles and turn to Psalm chapter 90. If you didn't bring a Bible with you today, grab a pew Bible real quickly. Go to page 929. When you get there, we're going to kind of fast forward a little bit. Psalm 90, verse number 12. I'm going to put it up on the screen so we can read it together, but keep your Bible open, keep a bookmark, because we're going to come back here in just a second. Psalm 90, verse number 12 says this. With me, everybody? Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. We want to number our days so that we can gain this heart of wisdom. That's an interesting phrase, number our days. What does that look like when we number our days? I mean, you might think about just this, let's just start putting down the tick marks for our days. Some of you have a lot of days. Some of you have even more days that are up here. If you were to put a tick mark for all of your days, how many today find yourself somewhere around the 10,000 mark? You are 10,000 days old. Which means you're somewhere around 27. How many close to 27? Around there. Okay, great, good. How about 5,000? Somewhere around 14. Any 5,000 days in here? Should be up in junior high ministry. What do you do? No. How about anyone here 15,000 days? That puts you right at about the 41 mark. Anybody somewhere around 15,000 days in here? Okay, how many ladies are 15,000 days in holding? Good, got that. Up here on the screen right now, there are 20,000 days. How many of you up here are 20,000 days or better in your life? So 20,000 days would be 55. So you're 55 or more. How many got that? Okay, all right, that's a lot of ticks that you've got on the paper that way. Now, some of you are already thinking, because you're ADD, he didn't give me my number. And so you've already written 365, and you are multiplying that out right now, and that's okay. Go ahead and finish your work, and when you get it done, just check back in with us at that point, because we're just going to kind of move on from here for a second. So we're in Psalm 90, verse number 12. Let's just do a real quick study and look at the psalm as a whole right here. A couple things I want you to note. First one is this. Psalm chapter 90 is the first psalm of the Bible. Now, I know, you're asking the question, how can it be number 90 and be the first psalm of the Bible? That is a good question. part of that goes back to the one who wrote it. How many know who wrote Psalm chapter 90? Who wrote it? Yeah, Moses. Now, some of you are thinking like, wow, I'm surrounded by Bible scholars. Or you're surrounded by people that just read, because at the beginning it says, right, a prayer of Moses, right? Yeah, but that's still, I mean, you're sharp that way. So Moses wrote this psalm, and a psalm is a song. So Moses wrote this song. I was thinking about Moses, and I realized, do you know there's a new movie coming up about Moses? Yeah, hit Christmas, you know, new Moses movie. You know the new Moses, who the new Moses is? Right here. Look at the new Moses. How many think the new Moses can compare with the old Moses? Now, you know who the old Moses is, right? Charlton Heston right there. How many know Charlton Heston, old Moses? If you got your hand up, you are old. That is so old. That is so old right now. Like, oh, you got a lot of ticks on the paper for sure. But this is messing with my mind. I don't know about yours. When Russell Crowe becomes Noah, so you got Gladiator becomes Noah, that means now Batman becomes Moses. This is just going to be a hard thing to go through, isn't it? And we wonder why our society is so screwed up biblically these days. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah, yeah. We're Psalm 90, right? We're talking about Moses. Okay. So, Moses wrote this psalm. And if you read it, and I hope you will, it's only 17 verses. If you read it, your first time going through, you're going like, Moses was schizophrenic. I mean, you're reading it first, you're going like, what? Because the second part's not lining up with the first part, and you're just like, I don't get it. So this is really going to help. The first 11 verses are Moses' contemplation. Here's what I'm thinking about. Here's my thoughts I want to put down. The second half would be Moses' response. Or in other words, it's Moses' prayer. Because of this, then this comes. And here's that fret. And so, teach us to number our days. That becomes the transitional piece. And with that, you go like, oh, boy, do I ever get this. Number my days, phrase up here. It actually means this. It's not an arithmetic thing. You know, God help me to keep track of my days. You know, number them out that way. You know how many thousand days I am old. Though interestingly, the Hebrews didn't keep time by hours. You know, there was no real hour concept. Their time was kept by days. Just put that in the back of your mind for a second. So when Moses says number my days, they use the word number this way, in order to be in control of. Help me to order my days to this end that I can be in control of or in control over of them. That's where this heart of wisdom is going to come from. The heart of wisdom, and we'll just put the whole thing up here right now. Let's go ahead and fill it in. The heart of wisdom is this. In light of what I've learned, past, and where I want to go, future, my direction, my destination, I need to number or I number today. Now, Moses' case. Here's Moses. Moses was saying this, and you'll get some of this in that psalm. In light of what I've learned, if you don't know Moses' story, it is a fantastic story. I mean, just for the sheer interest of it, I'd encourage you to go and to read Moses' story. One of the greatest leaders of all time. But here's Moses' story in a nutshell as it starts out. Moses, after he was born, short time after he was born, his mother takes him, puts him in a basket, puts him in the river, and floats him down the river. So Moses was a child that grew up with separation issues. Just kidding. All right. His mom did it for a reason, and that was because Pharaoh had ordered that all of the male Hebrew babies be killed. So they kept him home as long as they could. And then in this act of faith, desperation, they put him in this basket, floated him down where he could be discovered by an Egyptian, and it just so happened it was Pharaoh's daughter. Pharaoh's daughter picks him up, takes him home, goes to her dad who gave the order, kill all the Hebrew baby boys, and she goes, can I keep him? And as any dad would tell his daughter, what? Okay, right? They all get killed except this one. You know. So he gets raised in Pharaoh's court. First 40 years of his life. Best education, place of influence, place of power. He feels like I'm going to be able to do something great for God. Then unfortunately, in an act of anger, kills a man thinking he's doing what God would have him to do and ends up in exile for 40 years. He's on a barren, barren place. Deserts of Egypt, or far away from Egypt. He's a marked man. People are hunting for him. Fast forward a little bit. So he's like 40 years of doing basically just taking care of sheep, and here's where I was, here's where I am now. And then God comes back in a very significant way, says, I want you to join me in my work. Moses does. Still looking back, he goes, and here's the 10 plagues, and here's the way God miraculously delivered the nation. So when Moses numbers his days, he looks back. What have I learned? Learned in the court, learned in the wilderness, learned, you know, in what I've seen God do recently. But he doesn't just like, number my days, it's not just about the past, but it's about the future. And then, but where am I going? Moses was taking the people to the promised land, right? Like, I've got a purpose in life. Here's what I'm doing. I'm leading these people this way. If you don't know where you're going, if you don't have any direction in life, then of course that's a problem. We could say you're not going to get anywhere. You're not going to get where you need to go if you don't know where it is you need to go. But it just kind of brings us back to the purpose. Number your days. Think about this. Because we know that it's direction, not desire, that determines your destination. So I need to know, where should I be going? In light of all of that, I need to look at today. So when you look back in your life, you look at where you want to go, how should you use today in light of the past and with what your hope of the future is? Jesus was always talking to us about this. He said, I want you to realize you have a gift, and the gift is now. In fact, you have the gift of now. You have the gift of, remember the Hebrews measure time in the day? You have the gift of today. Would you do this with me just for a minute as we think about numbering our days? Just do this. Tick. Ready? Tick. All right. So when you're ready to make your tick, tick. Don't make your tick at the end of the day. Tick. Got another one off, you know, got another one done. Tick. Glad that one's over. Tick. This is saying, number of days, put your tick at the beginning. Today is a new day. And in light of what I've learned, and in light of where I want to go, how do I use today's tick? How do I make sure that I enjoy the opportunities of today? And if we will lay that as a foundation, then we can build upon our frame. All right? Let's go back to the frame. Okay? First slide down here, foundation, number of my days. Then I want to put up here God perspective. Now, these next two, we're only going to give a little, you know, a little bit more than an honorable mention to, so we don't have the time to do that, but I think it's very important to get the big picture of how do we get to this place of being busy and blessed in our life. So, we all need God perspective in our lives. Fascinating passage, and here's why I want you to turn to it in your Bibles. If you are in business, if you work that way, this is a passage you need to know where to find next time. You need to be able to find this and access it regularly. So we're going to turn to the book of James. It's almost in the back of the Bible, New Testament. James chapter 4. If you're using the Pew Bible, please grab it so that you can see this with us. Everybody else, you're going to want to, you know, put a marker, note the page number here. If you're in business, if you got plans, if you like to make plans, this is for us. Verse 13. Now listen to you who say, because this is describing you. If you say, today or tomorrow, we're going to go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Okay? Here's a person with a plan. If this is you, James says, why? You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. In fact, what's your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while, then vanishes. In other words, so in light of that, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live. Well, that part's good, right? Yeah, if it's God's will, I'm going to have another tick tomorrow. So if it's God's will that we live, And if it's the Lord's will, that we do this or that. In other words, James is saying, it's not wrong to make plans. In fact, the Bible supports making plans. But it's saying this. Once you make your plan, you want to yield it to God rather than present it to God. You know the difference, right? God, these are my plans, and I just want to, you know, yield them to you versus, God, this is the plan. Pay attention. Take notes. And let's just get on with the plan. You know, we want God in on our plan at that point. In fact, if your plan and God's plan are different, how many people are planners here? How many like to make a plan? I mean, you live in the plan. Okay, all right. So if you have a plan and God's plan's different, whose plan do you think should change? Now, there's the church answer. And then there's the other answer. And for planners, it's what? If these plans are different, like, this is my plan, and God, this is not, I mean, you're not on board with my plan today. Whose plan should change? With God perspective, it's like, God, you must have a different plan, so, all right, I want to yield myself to that. In fact, Jesus would say this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. He said, I want you to seek first his kingdom, God's righteousness, because if you do, all these other things will be added to you. God will be with you. God will take care of the needs that you have in your life that way. See, Jesus is saying this, don't only, you know, it's not only don't lose God perspective. He says this, start with it. Begin your day with God perspective. Last year, the number one reason why Christians, I'm talking about Christians now, the number one Christians didn't read their Bible was because they were what? Number one reason. Last year, the number one reasons Christians who were reading their Bible either did so less or stopped doing so was because they were what? They were too busy. We do not read the Bible to learn. Do not burn me as a heretic. We do not read the Bible to learn, but we read the Bible to listen. We listen for what God has for us. We want to listen if God wants to speak into our lives, and we open the Bible to be able to do just that. We're in a Bible reading plan right now. If you've gotten behind, maybe even you're like, I'm just, you know, I've gotten too busy or fallen behind, don't guilt yourself. But let me encourage this. Just start wherever it is. You know, go to the website, open your book again, wherever we're at, just restart right there so that you could listen to what God would have for you and that you can keep him first. That way, this perspective there. Let's go back to the frame. So I do want to number my days. I want God perspective. And then there's also this matter of maintaining or getting, a lot of us is going to be getting, eternal perspective. Now, what do we mean by that? Here's what I mean. It means that today is going to count for eternity. What you do today, how you use today is going to count for eternity. Let me put a verse up here from Ephesians. There's more, and I've put a couple other references in your handout if you want to look at this a little bit more. The context of this is work, so what you do at work. You know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever they do. So when you go to work, and when you're on Monday, whether you're a widget maker, whether you're a director of people, whether you're in healthcare, today, whether if you're out there, you know, if you're out snow plowing, whatever it is you do, God says, if you do it to honor me, then you are going to have a reward in heaven for today and what you did today at work. We say that we worship God at work. We do not worship work. Some people get that turned around, but we worship God at work. What's that mean? When we realize that what I do today, if I do it for God, think about how this would change things. Think about if you have this mundane job. Think about if you feel like I'm just wasting my life here. I can't get out of this, whatever it is that you're doing. What I do today, if I do it in a way that honors God, there's going to be an eternal reward for that. 1 Corinthians opens that up even more. 1 Corinthians 3 talks about what you do today and how you do it. Your motives is either going to, if you're Christian, produce reward in your life, or it's going to result in the lack of it at that point. And we'll know when we stand before Jesus the lack of it that way. Now here's what the cynic says. The cynic says this. No good deed goes what? Oh, you know that. You've said that, or you've experienced it, right? That's what the cynic says. But I want you to know what Jesus says. Jesus says, no good deed goes, here it is, unrewarded. He knows, and he rewards. That's the eternal perspective to carry with us. Now, the last side, as we finish our frame right here, is margin. Margin, and we'll talk about this more in 2 weeks from right now. Margin is going to be what gives us the breathing room in our lives. It's what we need, what we want, what we look for, and that's why we'll give an entire message just to that one side that we've got here. If we were doing a bottom line, our bottom line would run something like this today. Crazy busy, that's what? Crazy busy is bad. Busy and blessed is what? Yep, therefore, we want to frame it, right? So, we go back again. Here's our mind map, or here's the big picture here. I want you to remember, this is what Jesus modeled. This is what Jesus said. This is what I want as followers of mine for you to have. This is what I've given you a helper for. The Holy Spirit says is going to help us. And help us in this. Now you might ask, what do I need help in? It's not if we need help, right? Because we know when we're crazy busy. We know that state, but what do I need help in? Well, it may be this whole God perspective. Because when we go to work, we don't work in such a way that what I'm doing right now is just to honor God. It's for whatever reason that we're doing it. Or that eternal perspective. Even getting that. You mean what I'm doing today, today's tick is going to count for eternity? Yes, it is. The heart of wisdom that comes there. I mean, when you look at this, you may go like, oh, this is what I need to carry. This is what I need to really look at in my life right now. And this week is going to be that opportunity for us. Because we long, don't we, for what Jesus invited us into, busy and blessed. And here's the help that God wants to give us to get there. Should we pray together? Thank you for what you've given to us in your word, Lord. The practical help here, and also, as we open it daily, doing the best we can and just reading a part of it, the ability to listen to you, that's wonderful. Help us not to miss that in our lives, especially because we're too busy. Help us, and help us to help others. Because if they see something in our lives of busy and blessed, and they go like, what's up? Then Jesus, we can again share you and how you helped us to get where we are today. We pray these things in your name, Lord. Everybody in agreement here said, amen.